The legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
Now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, and our newest sponsor, Sticker U, where you can get your stickers on Queen Street or order anywhere in the world. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the worldwide headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. I'm Howard. There's Freddie.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Big show today. Carla Collins, one of our favorite guests, one of our friends, a bundle of energy, joy, and hilarity joins us. Speaking of which, also super funny, Jessica Holmes on the show today. Come on.
Are they coming in?
Who?
Are they both coming in?
Carla is... Jessica Holmes, not 100% on
all
that
right,
one.
All right.
And one of the guys that, he's a TSN guy, but he's also part of the PGA Tour radio play-by-play. His name is Mark Zucchino. He's got a cool job. He's one of those on-course guys, and he's going to talk to us for a very first time, talking about the President's Cup and covering golf from a Canadian perspective.
Is his nickname Zucchini, I wonder? With all his buds? I bet it is. As Zucchini, because all those guys have nicknames.
Sure. Yeah. Zook.
Athletes and sportscasters all have nicknames.
No, exactly. And you know what? I don't go for grown men with nicknames. You know that. You know I'm against that.
Speaking
always
of,
have been.
Zuki. Speaking of the President's Cup, quickly, yeah, on nicknames, it's interesting, too. It seemed like every time they interviewed Tiger, somebody had a nickname. Whenever he refers to somebody, it's like, who's he talking about? And then you have to figure it out.
It's so embarrassing.
Off the nickname.
You know I love my Tiger.
I know.
I can't stand when he does that.
Like, some of them don't even... They're
stupid.
It's like he makes him up on the spot, doesn't he?
It's like Tiger's so... You know, the thing about Tiger is he so wants us to think golf's like a real sport.
Mm-hmm.
And always has.
Right.
You know, he's always talking about reps and this and that. But so there's Steve Stricker he calls Strix. Lame.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Couples he called Cups.
Cups
made me puke.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard for me because I love him so much. And then there's the legendary one is there's a broadcaster on the Golf Channel named Steve Sands. And now it's become a gag with Tiger, because every time he gets interviewed, he goes, okay, thanks, Sansy. It's the worst. Sansies.
Yeah.
Sansy.
Doesn't he have people that could say, hey, Tiger, you might want to pull back on that a bit. But listen, no harm. No harm.
No harm.
It's
no
just
harm.
Joy in his heart.
Anyway, Mark Zucchino, I've known of him for a long time because I follow him on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM. And I ran into him in a thing last month. And I said, would you come on the show sometime? We'd love to talk to you. So we'll grab him for a couple seconds and a very busy show as well.
And when you
Dan Duran, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When you say real sport, what do you mean by that?
Tiger, the way he has spoken his entire career, you know he's a big fan of like basketball and football. And
right.
He has always wanted to have golf feel to him like he's an athlete in another sport, you know?
Oh,
the way he
it.
Trains, the way he looks, the way... And so it's always been... He's always had the worst nicknames.
Because the reason I bring that up, because whilst I was on my couch under Campbell's suit blanket... On Saturday night, watching the President's Cup, I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. Like even at my level,
mm-hmm.
which is a very low level, you sit there and watching them play that course. It's something I have done in the last 7 days. I haven't played a hockey game in the past 7 days, a baseball game, on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been in a swim meet.
You haven't?
No.
That's too bad. Nice swimming.
But it's...
I would love to see that.
The cool thing about that
is you've played golf
in the last week.
Yes.
And I love that. Because you just, the shots they make, it's aggravating because you think, how does a human being do that?
I know. But it aggravates me when they go, hits 187 yards, slightly downhill. He's hitting an 8-iron. I go, is he? He's hitting an, because I'd hit an 8-iron and then I'd have another iron left.
Right.
Can we just for a second?
Yeah.
Just for a minute.
Wow.
Go back to you in a swim meet. Just Can we do that? Because that image of you and your little
Speedo.
And your Speedo and, yeah. and bathing cap and
my
goggles.
Mm-hmm. From the 5 meter.
And or not and the little thing that pinches your nose. Mm. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, that's the great thing about the game, and that's why it's so aggravating, is because you'll watch pros play a game and you know that you're sort of playing the same game, but not really. And the problem is it's aggravating because every once in a while we all hit shots, even if it's just a chip shot. Like
Without a doubt.
You were playing a course last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, you can chip a shot that can roll and then go in the hole, just like a real, like a pro.
Howard, that's exactly what I was thinking Saturday night. I saw putts missed that I made much longer last week.
Of course.
Of course. The greens, obviously, are different and whatever. Whatever comes into play there. But, you know, you can luck out and sink a 30, 40-foot putt mm-hmm. by mistake.
Yeah.
And then you see professionals miss 10-footers or six-footers a couple of times. And it's like, wow, that's interesting.
I probably asked you this from time to time. Not that you have regrets, but when you were younger, at some point in your career, did you not maybe fancy yourself maybe ever imagine doing play-by-play? I mean, you thought about
yes,
it, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this Mark Sacchino guy has a job mm-hmm. that I think, you know, if circumstances were different, I wonder if I could have positioned myself to do what he does, which is just, he's an on-course guy. He walks around with players and reports on the activity. You know, he's like what the equivalent would be. But like in golf, they have like play-by-play guys for each group or for the featured groups.
But that's not even like play-by-play. It's more...
It's description. Well, it is kind of, because you're describing on radio, on PGA Tour radio, he's the guy that describes the action with a certain
right.
group.
No, I guess. Anyway, yeah, so, I know what you mean.
So I'm a little... Every time I listen to Mark, I'm going, how did that guy get that
Yeah, but
job?
You could be the other guy even.
Who's that?
It's not like you're in a hockey booth. Like, you know, I mean, there's a certain rhythm and a certain... There's a certain style or you have to bring something else to a hockey play-by-play booth than you would golf. Mm. You know, but just because it's much slower and more a little more analytical and predict, you know, they predict what club he might use and all that stuff. Well, you don't sort of get that thing in hockey. You could do that.
Well, no,
how
the problem is I can't because there's only two types of people that cover golf. Former golfers that are legends.
Mm-hmm.
Or a guy like Mark, who was a sports guy
right.
in the sports world, specialized in golf, mm-hmm. and then he got this gig. That's one of the reasons I wanted to get him on the show. I want to know, how'd you get that gig? Because he's very good at it. I'm not saying I could do it and I could do it better. I just one of those jobs when I hear it, I go, ooh, that'd be fun because you get to go on tour. He does like 20, 30 tournaments a year.
Something you love every day?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You're following
the best players in the world up close.
I often thought about, but my career took me in a different path.
Well, you became a champion swimmer.
Yeah. No, but honestly, I used to sit there and think, yeah, play-by-play would be great, but I don't want to work Saturday nights because hockey is what I thought.
Going on the road and all that other nonsense.
Oh, I mean, it's horrible. I mean, yeah. We've talked to...
Oh, no, it's terrible.
We talked to Paul Romanuk about that many times. It's tough. But, I mean, if you have a passion for it, you do it, and I guess maybe you get summers off, but... I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's the big show, and Dan Duran, and our big Christmas drop-in. This one's going to be a little different. I don't think we're going to be, it's not wall-to-wall performances. I think you're just going to have to get your head around that the draw for the Christmas show, as wacky as it sounds, is going to be us. Come in, sit down, we'll talk to you. I think we're going to do, if you're okay with this, you know, we'll have a few performances, the Finn Brothers, Biff Naked, but I think our tone that day will be a lot of just listeners sharing memories, 30th anniversary,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to that end, one of our favorite friends, fans, followers, 100%ers, Hundy Peas. Are you not going to come over and say hi, Bruce? This is Bruce. He's 8'7".
Bruce.
I don't know if you're watching on Twitch or Facebook this morning. Sean has Christmased up the place. And Big Bruce is going to sit down here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bruce, what is going on?
He's brought gifts. Oh, that's lovely.
He brought, and by the way, don't forget, on Thursday, bring a non-perishable food item for Humble and Fred. Okay? Don't screw around this year.
Thank you guys for coming to work.
Hey, Bruce, how are you, man?
That's the first one for you.
Well, first of all, before we exchange gifts, we got you...
Exchange gifts?
Yeah. We got you.
Under my skin.
What do we get? Technically exchanging gifts. He's giving us a gift, and we're giving him the gift of Humble and Friend.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
How are you?
Sounds good.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're great. And Bruce, longtime fan from... You work in Oakville at the Ford plant?
Yes, I do.
Wow. What is your gig there?
I work down in final with the finished vehicles, inspecting them, make sure they're 100% before they go to the customers.
Guys, get the microphone right.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you guys switching over to electric? When are we switching over?
The next Ford Edge will be hybrid version. I'm not sure if it's going to be full hybrid or just plug-in.
Yeah.
But that's as far as I know. I'm not sure.
It's coming, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's all coming. Electric vehicles.
The problem with those things is stuffing 100 AA's into those things. It's a pain in the ass.
And I saw this morning on CP24, they're saying that the sales of electric vehicles has gone down 55% because of the rebates being removed.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't have the incentive to buy them. So,
well, you know, incentive aside, and we're working on a sponsor. It's going to be probably later in 2020, but I had a great conversation here a few weeks ago with somebody in the electric car business. And it's not this just the rebates, just the explanation of the savings per year in just your car costs. And it's not just gas versus electricity.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the complexity of the engine. And I didn't understand that. A combustion engine has approximately 400 plus parts to it. The electric engines have around 120 to 150.
Mm-hmm.
And so the maintenance of them is just a lot simpler.
You don't have oil changes. You don't have to top up your transmission fluid, all that stuff.
And we're not talking Teslas. We're talking about just your entry-level electric vehicle.
Yeah, but the problem is there's not enough of those.
Yeah,
right.
But it will save you between $5,000 and $7,000 a year in costs.
I could use that.
Yeah,
but you know,
exactly.
Part of the issue with the removal of the rebates was most of those electric cars are luxury cars, high end.
Yes.
So they were in a dilemma. Are we going to give, you know, affluent Canadians money towards their cars when they're all so high end? When they become a little more entry level, it makes more sense.
Well, this gentleman that I had the conversation with was telling me that there's a lot of cars around in the sort of $30,000 to $40,000 range, and these aren't Teslas. These are like
the Bolts
and these little hybrids coming out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Bruce, you're not here to talk electric cars. Thank you very much. So this is a little gift.
That's your first one.
Is that for both of us or just for?
That's just for you. This is your second one.
I got two.
And
it's an early Christmas.
This whole bag is for Freddie.
Is the Freddie man? Oh. Did you get some new swim goggles?
I have to thank my daughter. My daughter wrapped those.
Come on,
Bruce. I know what mine is.
What's yours? Booze.
Wow. I went with the
Bruce has given me, if you can't see on Twitch, he's given me some nice golf balls.
Lovely.
Titleist Velocity. I've heard of those.
Every golfer loves his balls, right?
Yeah, they do. Yes, we do. I can't stop playing with mine.
Are these the same or
no? There's three different ones. Yeah.
This is great. Look what he got us. Oh, yeah.
I couldn't remember the name of it, and I'm like, okay, well, go with the... I had to go to a few different places.
Well, that's very nice of you. Look at this, Freddie. Look what he got us. We were talking about this the other day.
Non-perishable food.
We were talking about... how do I hold this up, Sean? Right there?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there we go. The wagon wheels.
Lovely.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Dare makes those, eh?
Isn't that something? Uh-huh. You know what I'm going to do with these as soon as the show's over? Put those in the freezer. For later, when Daddy does his medicine.
Okay.
When Daddy does his medicine and Netflix.
No problem.
Well, Bruce, guys.
I'm surprised you could still get.
I went to one beer store. They said, we don't care that. But if you go to this other one up in North Oakville, they have it.
They were still making it.
Yeah. Bruce, what we did is we thought about it, and all we have is Phil will give you
a hug.
You guys, you know, he'll give you one of those... you know, ancient massages that he does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Some Reiki.
Well, I just wanted to thank you guys.
Well, thank you.
Hours and hours
much.
Of entertainment, and I just wanted to give you something to celebrate Christmas. I know you don't.
I do.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, don't say Christmas.
Are you allowed to listen? While you're at work, are you allowed to listen to the radio or a podcast?
Well, most people. I have a big, giant boombox.
Right.
And so,
brag, okay? We know you're tall.
You'd have, 15 different people all playing different music, and it got annoying to a lot of people. So then Ford said, no, just the earbuds now. So yeah, you can, as long as you have a job that's not safety or anything like that, you can listen to earbuds. And so I do my job while I'm listening to you guys.
Fabulous.
You listen with your buds to your buds.
That as well.
Well, it's great to see you, sir. And hang around here for a second, Bruce. And thank you very much for these lovely gifts. Let's see. Is Dan there? Dan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Are we going to see you, or should I turn? Is your video working?
I don't know. Okay, I'll look at you too. How do I do that here? Okay.
You don't need that, do you?
Not really.
No. Not really, no.
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking at each other.
I'm turning my video off then. All right, let's get. And our friend Big Bruce is here. Say hi to him.
Hey, Big Bruce.
How you doing?
Good.
There you go.
What's Big Bruce doing there?
He's hanging out with us.
No, that's good.
He brought us some gifts. He brought us some golf balls, beer, and wagon wheels.
Like the chocolate candy bar thing?
Yeah, man. Because I was talking about them the other day, and I said I used to love them, and now I will love them again.
I used to love those things, too.
Well, listen, if there's any left by...
Like a Western thing?
Yes. If there's any left by Wednesday when you're here, we'll have one after we medicate.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right.
Medicate and then remember the past, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the future.
Listen, I just got to ask Dan on behalf of Fred and I, have you had a stroke in the last couple of months? And no one... It just... It seems with weather things...
Sometimes the words don't come out. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Bruce, join in if you want.
Okay.
Here we go. Dandaran weather, weather, Dandaran.
Dandaran weather, weather, Dandaran.
Dandaran weather, weather, Dandaran. Dandaran weather, weather, Dandaran.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's becoming more and more pure. Thank you very much.
It is.
Pure.
Yeah. It is becoming very pure. Listen, man. Stay there, Bruce. You're hanging. What is going on with the weather, Dan?
Well, we had a little bit of a thing on Saturday. I don't know if you noticed that. It was I was Christmas tree hunting with my son when it was raining and just turning into slushy snow. It was quite the tree retrieval. That one was a tough day.
When you go Christmas tree hunting, what rifle do you use? I've never heard it put that way, hunting.
And when he said just now, what he just said, it was quite a day retrieving.
Yes, retrieval.
Dan, here's an email we got from our friend West Coast Millman, who says, still loving Dan Duran's weather report. Here's a couple ideas. Have a weekly weather report where Dan reports on a lucky listener's winner of the Dan Duran Weather Report weekly draw. What that would be is we would draw a name and a listener from a community across the country. For instance, he's in Kelowna, and Dan Duran would do a special report for him in Kelowna. The Kelowna
That's
weather.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, or Canada's national morning show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was a thing we could do when you were here, where you could do your actual weather report on Twitch, like on a green screen or a blue screen. But that's for another time. But
that requires some planning, but not this coming Christmas show, which is, what, Thursday, right?
Yes, it is. You plan on being here, I understand.
I do, yes.
All right. Drive carefully.
By the way, our weather's going to change a little bit on Tuesday into Wednesday, just so we know.
All right. What's it going to do?
Some Arctic air coming in. We've got some overnight temperatures getting down to about -4 or so. And then -4 will be the high on Wednesday. And there is a possibility. There's more snow, kind of some snow bands coming across south of us. So we're not going to get a whole lot of snow, but there is some possibility that some snow squall activity and lake enhanced snow is going to be coming in around Barrie as well. So, and wind chills will be kind of nuts. So there's a cold front moving through. And then when that happens, there'll be some winds kicking up on Wednesday afternoon. So it'll be maybe -20, 22 with the wind chill in Toronto in that area.
Really? Yes. Do you have snow on the ground and the plat? What do you call it? The platch?
The patch.
The patch.
The patch, yes.
Do you have snow there?
There is snow, yes. It almost all went. And then as of Saturday night, we ended up with a fair bit of that heavy snow.
Oh, so you had almost lost all yours up there as well, eh? Okay.
Yep.
Well, Freddie,
it's all gone.
On Saturday night, Dan, I had a gig at the Gator's Tail in Cambridge, you know, because my stand-up career is skyrocketing. I'm at the Gator's Tail in Cambridge Saturday night, another fantastic performance.
Is that like a bar?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Anyway, from my house to just past Milton, it was completely bare roads, no big deal, right? But I get to Cambridge, and it's full-on winter. Like, snow on the ground. Not, it's amazing.
I went and cut a tree down yesterday in Paris, Ontario, and they got a lot of snow there.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, yeah. You get a half an hour from here, and it's like a different world.
Bruce, you went tree hunting as well.
Yes, yeah. I did.
How many did you kill?
Just one.
It's a thing.
Semi.
Just
it was
one.
A semi.
Hey, Dan Duran, Jessica Holmes just walked into the studio. That's right, Jessica Holmes. We're on the phone with Dan Duran.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. You're a big celebrity. She says, hi, buddy.
Hey there.
He says, hi there. Anyway.
Hi, you too.
He's doing weather for our show right now, Jessica, so we'll have to get back to this because it's very important.
Were they in a movie together or something?
I'm sure Jessica has been in some kind of production with Dan Duran, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. She's a superstar.
He was the anchor man. She was the anchor woman.
Anyway, Dan.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of different ecosystems here in Ontario.
We do. We do. And the Cambridge area is probably mostly coming in off the other Great Lakes. So like Lake Enhance was a lot of that snow that was coming through. And the temperature obviously was different. I was wondering when I was tree hunting, there was big puddles that we were trying to avoid when we were dragging our tree back to the car.
Yeah. It was sloppy Saturday. Yeah. I'll tell you, man. Real sloppy.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, I have to go pick up my in-laws Christmas morning in the Cambridge Kitchener area.
Yes.
It's too early, I know, to get a prediction, but... You know,
well, it's still holding that it's going to be a nice day on Christmas Day.
All right, good.
Like, so lots of sunshine kicking around there. So the weekend, a little bit of snow on Saturday is also in the forecast. So, but coming into your special time when you have to travel, when it's more important.
We'll check in next week.
Yeah, Dan.
We'll check in next week.
So, Dan, we're looking forward. Everyone is excited about having you here in person on Thursday.
I'm excited. This is going to be great. It's a tradition.
Yes. Going back many, many years. I can't remember. I guess he was producing our show by the time Christmas 89 came around, our very first Christmas together, because that first guy that produced our show. Well, maybe Dan wasn't producing it then, but he was hanging around then.
I was cleaning out part of the basement on Saturday, and I found a picture of me, Steve Anthony, Mary Ellen Benninger, and Greg Williams together when that was the morning show at CFNY before you arrived.
Hmm.
Do you remember what Greg looked like?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little blonde kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was like, whatever, 30-some-odd years. It's a interesting picture. How youthful we look.
Did you have the Fred Patterson porn stash at that time?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, no, I did. Yeah.
A lot of people don't remember it. And it's funny, when people who don't know you from the porn stash era, when they see you with it, they're at first shocked and then delighted.
Yeah. No, I had it. Well, I had it right up to 2000.
Wow. Yeah, but that was 20 years ago, bud.
No, I know. But I mean, all those years.
No, I know.
All through the 80s and 90s, I had it.
I know.
Yeah. 20-some-odd years.
He did Movember before it was cool.
Yeah. When you met your wife, Delise, was it on at that point? Or do you met her before you even had
No, I grew the mustache just after we got married, I think. Yeah. Mm. In 1980. Yeah.
All right. Dan Duran, have you ever had a mustache? I can't remember.
I had a sort of a beard 1 year back in the 70s just to see what I could do, and it wasn't good. So
it wasn't pleasant.
I moved on.
Well, listen, man. We're very excited. Thanks for the forecast. Did you tell us what's going on? So some cold weather's coming. Wind chills will dip down. But you know what? It's all part of the pre-Christmas excitement, and bad weather in December never feels as bad as... You know, other months because there's so much delightful distractions.
Right. It's the weather roller coaster ride.
Right. It's you know, by the way, Dan, they call this the Christmas season. I don't know if you heard about that. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
All right, Dan, very good. Dan Duran Weather is brought to you by Dan Duran. And Bruce, thank you very much for all your gifts. Bruce and Dan, everyone, hang around the very lovely and talented Jessica Holmes. Comes back on our program. I can't even imagine what she wants to talk about. It's Humble and Fred Radio. We're live on Canada's Comedy Superstation and around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
Behind the clouds, above the nation door.
All right, we're back.
His window box posts.
1-833-437-8465. That's our number. Give us a call. You can also watch us. We're live on Twitch TV, on Facebook Live. Christmas party is Thursday. And come in and say hello. We're just going to hang around. Don't forget to bring a non-perishable food item for us, because... I've been doing that same joke for about 25 years. It still makes me laugh.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one.
I don't care.
I like it.
Don't forget to bring an unwrapped toy for our grandchildren, and actually, or wrap them, and but just specify John or May, okay? Because then we'll know if it's a boy or a girl. But that's how we, you know. And listen, all your gifts, just come and be safe, for God's sake. Program is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa.
You know what the Sherp's doing for me, Howard?
Mm-mm.
I lost a 7-iron at a golf course in Tarpon Springs, Florida, a couple of weeks ago, and I tracked it down, and the Sherp's picking it up for me.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Did you now?
What?
Is there a story? Did you throw it in anger?
No. No, I was just off the green, and I used it for chipping the 7, as you taught me.
Yes.
Put it down, walked away.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I got it.
Well, good for you.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to replace one of those valuable sticks.
No. Hey, Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. In a recent episode, Tim told us about flow-through shares, something to look about as we approach the RRSP season. It's coming up, so, you know, equip yourself with all the knowledge you need, and if you need some help, retirementsherpa.ca is how to get a hold of Tim.
I want to mention our newest sponsor, Sticker U. They've got the world's largest sticker store at Queen and Bathurst, in a pop-up store in Square One. You can order stickers and make a great holiday gift or stocking stuffer for anyone, anywhere in the world. You can customize your own designs at StickerU.com. You can also... here's the thing. Coming in 2020, there's going to be a sticker museum and a custom experience center at the Queen and Bathurst location. It really is something unique. And until you investigate the website, you'd be like, oh, my gosh. You could get a sticker to put on your fridge, or you could get a fridge-sized sticker to put on your wall. Go to stickeru.com. All right. Please welcome back to our program. A very talented human being. I don't see gender, so, you know, because that's how woke I am. She's not only a singer, a comedian, an author, a motivational speaker, and a very fine human being. Please welcome back Jessica Holmes, everybody.
Yay!
Jessica, look at you.
Thanks, guys.
You know, as talented as you are, when I see that you're going to be on the show, I always get this feeling of you're just such a nice person. Is that possible? Is there a real Jessica Holmes that I've not actually met? Is this who you are?
I think this early in the morning, you're getting the real me.
Is this you?
This is, it's
without
too
filters?
Early to fake it. It's
yeah.
too early to, no, that's super nice of you to say. Thank you. I think you guys are so nice, and thanks for having me on like a gajillion time.
Well, we like it when people take the time and effort to come into the studio in the morning, because a lot of people won't do it.
Fred, thank you. And also, I noticed, Fred, 2 years ago when I was on the show, I was teasing you about how you were reading the promos.
Right.
Very deadpan.
Oh, was
I? And listen to the promo you just read. It was beautiful.
Oh, really?
Did you tease him for being like a little bit off?
I did. Yeah. It was hilarious. Like let's say it was Ted's Auto Shop. You were
yeah.
like,
yeah, we which was money
Ted's
we would
auto
take.
Shop, go to the auto shop and get your really? Car done.
Well, I shouldn't be doing that. That's not good for the sponsors. I'm glad you woke me up.
Well, I can't take full credit. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, we've been working with him. We've had some people come in.
Yeah.
Although, not too often, coach? I've been called deadpan, but that's okay.
Well, no, it was, I was teasing you about it then anyway. Yeah. It was,
Here's the problem, though, Jessica. We don't remember what happened yesterday.
No.
So you could have said 2 years ago, I was in here and I told you to get your hair straightened.
But see, I feel like we have the relationship now.
We built it up.
With, there's trust and we can tease.
There is trust and we can tease.
Nice.
Jessica, when I got up during the break and I walked over to say hello to you, you said to me, oh, you don't change. But look at you. You look, I think the last time I saw you in person was a couple years ago. You look amazing.
Oh, thank
and you. And is it hard to believe that you're, you know, you've been around
like
as
100?
Long?
I know. It's hard to believe you're only 88 years old.
I realized halfway through that sentence I was going in a direction I didn't want to end.
Abort.
Yeah. Get out of it. You look great. What are you, 20?
You know what? It's kind of great. Us ladies, there's so much you can do to fix. When a guy looks good, he just has to look good naturally.
Oh,
you know
I
what
see.
I mean?
Yeah. Well, thank you.
The ladies can just pack on the.
I feel good, so I don't know how I look, but I can tell you I feel great.
You look energized.
Overall, no, my back is killing me. No, just
I'm sorry.
In my physically, I'm a wreck. But no, I feel fantastic.
What do you guys do in the winter to stay active and stuff?
I get high and eat a lot of Freezies and watch Netflix. That's pretty much my everyday.
Yeah. What about you, Fred?
Well, I don't know. Not a lot.
Because I feel like going into winter, I get a little terrified of like, uh-oh, how am I going to keep, just for the on the mental health thing, how am I going to keep active? How am I going to, so fortunately I have a dog and she makes me, I'm at the park every single morning. I go for a little run with her, but there's always that feeling of like, oh, how am I going to do stuff? Anyway, you were just mentioning golf. Are you a summer golfer?
No,
but that what you said is very true for me in November. I made a joke early November. I start to get a little depressed because this summer's over, golf season's over. Yeah. I'm outside all summer. And November, in the 30 years I've lived in Toronto, traditionally one of the worst months. It's always gray, rainy, dark. I call it stink-vember or whatever, suck-vember. But December has a different feel to it, as we just talked to Dan. It can be minus 20, but there's so much stuff going on. It's exciting. It's not like minus 20 the third week of January.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what they say, attitude is everything. And if one uses the winter, it goes by quicker and you enjoy it more.
Yes.
Meaning whether you snowboard or you ski or, you know, you get it in your head, I'm going to walk regardless of the temperature. So yeah.
I was out yesterday, when you talked about the dog, you know, Stan, I took Stan out for like 45 minutes yesterday. Just, we booked it around the neighborhood, out to the parks, and I came in, I felt different. You know, you just do, you feel somewhat energized, and at least you got outside.
Yeah, I didn't like winter till I got a dog. Now I love it. Now I, because I feel like, I'm actually going to dress for the weather. She's just a rescue. She's a mix of 20 different things.
Nice.
So little purse dog. Only kidding. She's
so the,
giant.
The dog has turned you in from a winter hater to a winter lover?
Yeah, because I don't ski or anything, so I just used to feel like winter is something I tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it to April, folks.
Dogs are wonderful, aren't they, what they can do to people's lives?
Oh, I love it.
Even from that aspect, when you think about it.
Yeah, it's funny because I grew up in Moose Jaw, you know, at the epicenter of winter. And then we've spoken about this when we were kids, you know, back in the 1960s, you know, when everything was in black and white and all the cars were made of sharp angles. Winter just didn't bother me. I was just loved. I was outside all the time.
Kids are
amazing.
Just,
it doesn't
everything.
Seem. But at some point in my 50s, soon to be the end of my 50s, it just aggravates you. Sometimes you go outside and all of a sudden I'm like, ugh, why is it so cold?
Well, I admit, I've gotten to the age where I'm like, I hope I don't slip.
No kidding.
So I'm like, shoot. I was on one side of that, now I'm on the other side.
I hope I don't fall.
Yep. It's funny you say that because I'm going away in February and I was out back yesterday and it was icy from the weekend. And every step I'm taking, I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to do anything that'll prevent me from going on my trip. I don't want to do anything.
In February.
Well, but also, don't you notice
I don't want to do anything.
Certain ages where you're just like, oh, if I fall, I just get back up. And then you hit a certain point where you're like, I injure easier than I used to.
That's right.
I'm afraid.
Well, it's like that joke. You go to your doctor, you know, in your 20s or 30s, they're like, yeah, I'll do this. And then a couple days later, you're cured. You go to your doctor in your 50s, is like, well, this is just you now.
I know.
That elbow thing?
Yeah
you just live with it.
Just downhill.
When the word bursitis comes up.
Oh, yeah.
My elbow hurts. I can't remember doing anything to it. Oh, that's bursitis. Oh, super.
So it just, bursitis is your elbow hurting for no reason?
Yeah, exactly.
Little sack there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The bursa sack, if we're being technical.
But look at it this way. Groundhog Day is only like 6 weeks away.
No, absolutely.
You got that to hold on to.
Well, and then, of course, Canadians, we get through February and go, oh, great, because March has spring in it. No, it doesn't.
March is the worst.
It is.
It's half melted, so there's poop and mud everywhere.
And it teases you because you think, oh, spring's in this month. And then it snows for another 2 months.
Yeah.
I don't know what we were supposed to be talking about. Oh, yeah, Jessica's here to talk about this is kind of interesting. For many, many years, the Royal Canadian Air Force has been a staple of Canadian television. And this series kind of, were you on the series as it ended as a series?
Yeah, so I did, I think, six seasons where it was full-time show.
Like how many episodes a season?
24.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that? And then, comma, how long has it just been the New Year's Eve show?
Yeah, the New Year's Eve show. So I started 15 or 16 years ago on it and did six seasons, and then it ended, and then it became a New Year's Eve special.
Right.
But they've been doing those specials, I think, for like 30 years almost now.
So now the New Year's Eve special, which gets humongous numbers in Canada, it really is phenomenal, the numbers of viewers the Air Force has gotten. This is the last one.
Yeah, and it's really weird. We shot our final scene, and Don walks over.
Don Ferguson,
producer and star, and he's like, "Well, anyway, thanks for 15 years, and see you around." And it's been nice. I know, like it was just weird. Where I was like,
"Didn't everyone start to cry?"
Like, no, because it doesn't feel real yet. And what I think will happen is, next November, when everyone's ready to start working on the special, I think that's when it'll really be like, oh, my family. But anyway, I live like 10 blocks from their office, so I'll just
why is it over? Like, why?
CBC just decided they wanted to put funding elsewhere on different type of programming.
Family Feud.
we don't say the F words.
Oh, okay.
Around the Air Force office.
Yeah.
So it's too bad because they really were at the top of their. They were top rated in every special they've ever had. So it's a shame on that front. But also, at the same time, I'm just grateful because how many people get that opportunity to say, oh, I worked on a show for 15 years. Like, that's bonkers in this industry in this time.
No, I know.
Well, and you guys,
we've worked on this show for 30 years, but we don't tell anybody.
No, for
just not telling anyone.
For television in this country, that's remarkable.
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking at it like, oh my gosh, it was almost too good to be true. And so I'm okay that it's ending because I'm just grateful I got what I got.
Hard to believe that you've been on that show for 15 years. I guess, did they adopt you from an orphanage? Was that how they just came
sweet.
And got you?
Listen
they went,
to that.
They went, oh, we have this little beautiful blonde woman that can sing and is funny. She's 8.
Oh, back then I was a redhead.
You were?
And then I spent more time in the sun. And
I see. Amazing how that happened. Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Ottawa.
Ottawa. That's our nation. I understand that's our nation's capital.
You understand that, do you?
This is what I'm hearing.
Yes. They have a few buildings where politicians work.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And how long have you lived here in the center of the universe?
I moved here. I followed my best friend, I guess, like 27 years ago. And I went to Ryerson because she went to Ryerson. And so I just kind of have followed her around like a puppy.
When did you realize, or two questions again, what were some of your early impressions? And what was the impression that got you on the Air Force? Was it Celine? Was it somebody else?
Sure. Okay. So Air Force, I did a couple of guest spots for them. And then This Hour Is 22 Minutes called and asked if I would do a guest spot for them. And Air Force heard about it and said, well, would you just be a permanent member here? So anyway, I guess I have to thank 22
like
Minutes.
Like you kind of backed into a regular spot?
Yeah.
What were the little things that you had done?
My first series was The Itch. I did a special called The Holmes Show that did pretty well. And Holmes Alone. And then I was on The Holmes Show, which was my own special series on CTV.
Wow.
And that's where Air Force got wind. And
were you doing the impressions?
I started always doing the impressions, and it was only because...
What were some of the early ones?
The first one was Celine Dion, and that was because I had a monologue that wasn't getting a ton of laughs, but I was like, I know it's funny. Well, what if I try it as a French accent? What if I try it as Celine Dion, and suddenly she's talking about how amazing I am, and the audience like that. They love me. So I just started doing her, like the reaction was great, so I did her, and then I started doing Ally McBeal and Jennifer Lopez and whoever. And then when I got on Air Farce, it was wonderful because I felt safe doing the impressions I was familiar with. And I was like, oh, this is what I do. And then I'd come in and they'd say, like, now you're going to play Bindi Irwin. This week you're Michael Jackson. This week you're Maria Shriver. Like, so it just, it was bonkers for me because it took me right out of my comfort zone. And I just had to play who I was given. It wasn't,
Who you're comfortable doing,
who I'm
comfy
doing, yeah. Or who I'm good at, or...
When you were doing the Air Force all the time, was that a half-hour show or an hour show?
It was...
You can't remember?
A half-hour show. When it was a series, it was a half-hour show. Okay. And then the last...
Right. And how long would it take to tape a half-hour show?
I always felt like we rehearsed almost too much. Because I was a Second City kid where it was just like, hey, this is the idea. Hit these points. Go on out. And for Air Force, we would probably spend about 30 hours a week, you know, between hair, makeup, rehearsing, all that stuff.
But through that fatigue, isn't it hard to keep your humor and, like, keep track of being funny? And
well, you know what?
Because often it's spontaneous when you got to do it and do it and do it.
Yeah, and that was something that I struggled with every week. Like, I was like, how do I keep it fresh? How do I get mm-hmm. the adrenaline coming when the truth is I've rehearsed this. I've done mm-hmm. this 80 times over.
But like, you're doing it in front of a live audience every Friday night, were you not?
Yes, yes, you are. The live audience, though, the way the studio is set up, you can hear them, but sometimes you can only see a chunk
right,
of them.
Right, I see.
You know, it's and they're also 30 feet away from you. You're kind of way mm-hmm. back in your set.
And it's not the same. It's not the same when you're right on top of them in a club right. or at a show or
yeah,
a theater
so
show.
So I actually found when we started doing the specials, we would do more films where they would take us out and just mm-hmm. shoot us on location. And those I loved because then I could just improvise and be bonkers and be weird. I guess that's the thing in comedy. I like being a little unexpected and a little strange. And so Air Farce has gotten back to that.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question for Celine. I couldn't let you go without asking about your new boyfriend.
Oh, yes. I have a boyfriend. He's very young. He loves money. what's beautiful is he doesn't judge me for my weight, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, I can eat a muffin sometimes or have an apple. And he don't mind.
Is there anyone else that we should acknowledge? Is there anyone else you're doing these days that you'd like to say?
Is there
something, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know you're always developing material, but some of these voices I always ask you to do, is there something new you're like, oh, I love this new thing I'm doing? Or
I love music. I love just going into different impressions. So I have a medley I do of all these different singers. So I'll do like Nicki Minaj and Britney Spears and stuff like that. And to me, that's really fun and exciting. And as soon as, like, I get nervous, we were talking before about getting nervous before you go on stage. Yeah. And I get nervous every time. And I think, okay, as soon as I do my first song, I'm going to feel good. So it's sort of like that's my comfort zone. And then the improv, the stand-up, that's the hard part.
I think people would be surprised to think that somebody as accomplished as you and all the specials and television shows and live appearances and all these millions of people watching you. And then you and I spoke just during the break there about, you know, just getting nervous before you go on stage. And I don't think people can relate to it because you look so comfortable.
And it's only because every audience is so different. Like, I performed for farmers last week and I was like, okay, I don't, you know, I've only been in front of farmers a couple times. So I have to figure out, okay, what things are they going to laugh at more? What are they?
A lot of wheat jokes.
A lot of wheat jokes. You know what? They didn't mind a couple Trudeau jokes.
Sure. Oh, are you guys doing any blackface on the, is there any blackface on the Air Farce special?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
No, there's a few subjects they were like, be nice.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's all right. It doesn't seem to, you know, seem to suffer the consequences, it seems. When you do the blackface thing.
Jessica Holmes wants you to know the final Air Farce airs New Year's Eve on CBC. It's a piece of Canadian television history that you've been part of. And, of course, I think the last time or close to the last time you were here, you were talking about your book, The Great...
Depression, the Comedy.
Yep. Jessica, if you follow her on social media, as I do, you know, she's very public about dealing with depression, like a lot of us, and this comedy. Now, is it that you've toured a little bit with Depression, the Comedy?
Yeah, so mainly my career now is touring around doing keynotes that mix depression and mental health with comedy, because You don't want to have a sad talk about depression.
No, enough already. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be triggering. Yep. So I just try and keep it light, and I share my story, and it's been so validating and thank goodness well received. So it means a lot to me. I'm really happy where I'm at.
Right. Well, I'll echo what Fred says. It means a lot for us, for you to come into the studio and to take some time from your schedule. And great to see you, looking you right in the eye. And
thank you. All the best
to you. Jessica Holmes, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Come on. Why do you even... What's the matter with you people? You don't even get if Jessica Holmes was just here? Okay, we got to do a couple more minutes of stuff. Can we get some pictures of Jessica? We got to continue to broadcast for a couple seconds. Sean, just take Jessica over there in as less awkward manner as we can. Thank you, Jessica. Jessica. It's a very nice girl.
Very, very nice. You saw on Friday that Andrew Scheer resigned as leader of the Conservative Party of Canada.
Was he caught wearing blackface?
No. Well, that's the interesting spin, speaking of
what
blackface.
Was it? Yeah.
Well, he decided he wanted to spend more time with his family, but word is that the Conservative Party was paying for his kids to go to private school. And apparently it was okay and everything, but it became a bit of a scandal. So I'm thinking, isn't that interesting? That costs him his job, but the Prime Minister survives with what he did.
Survives SNC-Lavalin?
Yes.
Survives wearing blackface.
Three times.
That we know of. And but see, that's such a classic.
And again, remember, this, it wasn't the taxpayers of Canada. It was the Conservative Party. And apparently it was rubber stamped on some levels that they would pay the difference in private school moving from out west to Ottawa. But that was the hook that they hung him on. That's unbelievable. I know.
There has to be more to it. It has to be that they...
They don't like him.
They don't like him. They were trying. Yeah, seriously. Because if he was their leader, if he was. Okay, bye, Jessica.
Yeah.
Gosh, dang it. You're a nice person.
Oh, I love it. You guys too.
Thanks, buddy.
I heard from analysis that.
What's that like?
Some of the knives were from.
I don't know what's going on up there. It's pretty sketchy. Be careful.
I heard some of the knives could have been from inside the house because they were talking about how, you know, it was Scheer's election to lose and he lost.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but really,
let's hope there's more to it.
That's what I thought. I thought, well, this either there's more to it or they're just using this as an excuse to shove him along because it didn't seem like that big a deal. He's not using our money. He's using the party's money.
They were worried about him making to the leadership review and then not having as many votes as he thought he could have.
Right.
That's another reason.
You know, we talked about this recently, too, about how that Conservative Party, I think, should change their name because, you know, it's an image problem now. Yeah. But that aside, they need somebody in the Trudeau vein. You know, somebody who's sort of good-looking, kind of a hip-looking, younger human being, man or woman.
Fred,
women can be in charge, too.
No, I know. If you're going to get the young vote, too, you got to be, the conservatives got to become a little more social conservative. They do.
But progressive.
Face it.
Like,
yes.
I would lean, and I mean this, as a marketing tool, I would lean more on being progressive because conservative has such a stink to it, especially in this country.
Mm-hmm. But some people are throwing Doug Ford's name out there. Please, that is not the image
no.
of me.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I mean, really, good, bad, or indifferent front, that's not the image you need.
Rachel had an interesting observation. We were watching that Marriage Story Netflix movie yesterday afternoon, and Ray Liotta, the first time he comes on the screen, she's like, he looks just like Doug Ford.
Oh,
he's all bloated and head shaved.
Yeah, but that's not what they need. No.
But there are people who may step up that you may accept, Howard, like Michael Chong. That's Sean's choice for a leader because he thinks that Michael Chong is quite moderate in comparison to some folks in the Conservative Party.
Oh, is that what Sean thinks?
Or Rona Ambrose, who's a very nice person with experience.
I like Rona.
Yeah.
That was
Rona.
Way more formal than I would explain myself.
I love that.
What else does Sean have to say about the Conservative Party?
Sean and I were talking about that. Like, how would we vote Conservative? Well, we need someone reasonable.
Who's this Rona?
Rona Ambrose, former
Cabinet. She's been around quite a while.
Yeah.
But they're talking like Peter McKay too. Forget it. That ship has sailed.
Yeah, Pete's okay.
Yeah, I heard his name being thrown around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rona Ambrose. I like Rona. She's nice. Yeah, she's good. That's what we need, Rona.
Let's get Rona.
In your wheelhouse.
Yes, that's right, she is.
She's totally in my wheelhouse. A little dark-haired. Beauty.
Well, she's run for the leadership before, hasn't she?
Yes, she has.
Yes, she has.
Mm. Uh-huh. Like, I think it was the last time around when you guys had 17 candidates running for leader.
You know what I'm saying,
God.
Phil.
Oh. R-O-N-A, Rona. R-O-N-A, Rona.
But she's very skilled. Yes. Very.
Well, we'll watch that fight take place, and in the end, they'll be at the convention, there'll be all out of infighting, and they'll end up with another... nerd.
Yeah. Let's get more nerds. Yeah. Come on, Rona, baby.
All right, we got to take a break. Who's coming up?
Golf Boy.
Yeah, Mark Sacchino joins us. We're going to talk about life on the PGA Tour, covering it from a Canadian perspective. And our good friend and pal, Carla Collins, is in town doing something interesting. Comedic meditation, Phil. Mm. It's taking L.A. by storm, and she was in Toronto this weekend introducing it for the first time. Very interesting. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Good to be with you all. Mark Sacchino is supposed to be giving us a call here in a second or two. Part of the PGA Tour live play-by-play. And they were covering the President's Cup, Fred, but in kind of an interesting way. I'm not sure if Mark will reveal that, but...
I didn't see their coverage.
Who, PGA Tour or TSN?
Oh, TSN.
No, He works at TSN. His show runs on TSN.
Okay.
But he works for Sirius and PGA Tour Radio.
I get
in
it.
In the States.
I see.
So he does...
TSN usually has a presence,
but
they didn't this time. I get it. Okay.
But he works for the broadcast, the play-by-play guys. Mm-hmm. But I know for a fact they weren't in Australia. I'll explain it.
Off-monitor? Budgeting?
I think so, yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
Just the radio guys, not the TV guys, obviously.
But you know what? That's doable.
Oh, for sure.
It's when you hear guys calling hockey games off monitors, you think, wow, that would be hard.
We'll get to a Mark. Mm-hmm. Also, one of our favorites. It's just been, it's nonstop, beautiful, funny, talented, Jessica Holmes. And now Carla Collins is sitting here in the studio. Look at you. Look at you. If you're watching us on... No, you look at you. So I'll tell you what. If Mark doesn't call here in the next couple of minutes, we'll get right to Carla time. Let's also talk about our good friends Fred at the Chamber Plan.
The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan you speak of?
Yes, indeed.
Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. The Chamber Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan with... Or for firms with 1 to 50 employees, 1 to 100 employees. Yeah, you can be in that area. If you have a small company and you've often thought about, having a benefits package, go to chamberplan.ca, get all the information you need. Health insurance, dental insurance, travel insurance. They even have an HR component. It really is amazing. A small company can act like a big company when it comes to benefits. Very simple to sign up. It's stable because of the numbers. 30,000 Canadian businesses. Think about it, and the smart thing to do for your small company. Chamberplan.ca.
Here, Phil, do this while I try and figure out where Mark Zucchino is. Thank you. Hold on. Here comes Phil to talk about string print.
Absolutely. And you know, in this wonderful legal world of cannabis, people are discovering what they want and what they can treat themselves with. And so string print is a way to use cannabis better. And with the companion app from string print, it'll help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience with cannabis can be. And since different people react to different strains of marijuana and cannabis, using string print as a journaling app, you can compare notes and figure out what kind of strains that may help you with your conditions or for your various sorts of ailments. And so you can also earn loyalty points called strain points as well. It's free at the Apple or Google Play Store, strainprint.ca.
All right. There was an interesting story in the news. Pornhub has released some fascinating. Why did things get all quiet and weird?
Ooh.
Pornhub. Why am I not? Whatever. Don't you worry, young lady. Pornhub has got a some information. Frederick.
Yes, Pornhub. Their seventh annual survey of tastes of users around the planet. In Canada, the most searched word, lesbians.
Strange. Hard to believe, really.
Fancy.
Yes. Canada loves the lesbionics.
Yes, the lesbionics, Carl. I don't know if you knew about that.
Also moving up this year is it hentai?
Oh, yes, hentai.
What is hentai? For that report, we go to Phil Hong.
Yeah, you've got animation in Japan. You also have pornography from Japan like that.
So it's animated pornography.
Folks draw pornography.
Why
it's
would
crazy.
You want to watch that?
Well, some folks do.
Why would you want to dress like a baby? And oh, I'm sorry. I'm asking for a friend.
Or use glass tables.
Also, yes. Get a load of this, though. Also gaining speed in Canada, or steam in Canada, the search for Asian. It jumped up 26 spots this year. All right. So, and threesome went up 7 spots.
Really?
Asians like a bullet.
Yes, and if they're Asian lesbians, that would take the gift, wouldn't it? Oh.
Listen, Phil, why don't you change spots over there? And we'll get... I've just sent Boone a note. Zucchino hasn't called in. So I say we just, we move on. And then if he does... So what's going to happen is you've done... You've got some radio experience.
A little bit.
All right. All right. There you are.
Jeez.
Good Lord.
What
is going on with you?
I feel like an air traffic controller.
You've been in this studio before, haven't you?
But this seems new and feels...
Well, the microphones are different.
The Asian lesbians are throwing me off.
Yeah. How are you? I know it's going to be all funny and stuff, but first let me just tell you, as your friend, you look amazing.
Well, thank you.
I'm so happy for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Carla Collins, why are you even hesitating?
It's been a long time. Too long,
it
boys.
It has been.
Too long, fellas. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice I was looking here. Back at, there was a picture of you and I. You put that picture of us
last time
we were here. You hugged me to your bosoms.
I was giving you a comedy lap dance.
Yes, you were.
Where you make the better money.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's so funny our history, you and I and Fred. Larry Fedorik was here last week.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Such a good boy, Larry.
Sent him a note the other day.
Yeah. You know, another fallen soldier in the radio wars. Crazy, huh?
Well, everywhere, really. I mean,
is it?
Kind of. I think anything in media and. The biz,
but
you gotta.
Other than money, none of it makes sense. That's what hurts. Because he's great. He was great.
Continued to be great. I never heard his show, but he had a giant fan base. I just followed it on the Book of Face. People love him.
Yeah, they do. And he did have a good show.
Very smart, thoughtful.
Yeah,
guy.
Very good-hearted guy, and he was doing a great show. You know, but sometimes when I think of you, it's going to sound strange. I forget how much radio experience that you have because my image of you is as a stand-up, as a communicator, as a actress, as a personality. But you did radio a long time.
I started in radio. Started when I was in university over in France in French. Les Heures Chaudes avec Carla.
Did you pursue it at all in Los Angeles?
I haven't. No, I haven't. But maybe I should. Yeah, maybe.
Is it because it's just not part of your landscape, the things that you're into anymore, or is it just not?
I would love to talk radio. I would love to do talk radio. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really good.
Yeah, we
at
would someday. We would
yes.
like to try that too.
You're doing great.
We don't know what
Come
we're
on.
Doing.
Come on, everybody's. You're all.
Everyone's what?
You've never known what you were doing. That's the magic.
No one's talking about us.
No
Nobody.
One.
Oh, hang on a second.
No, it's crazy.
I'm getting a note from our producer. Maybe he slept in. Stand by. Well, whatever.
Good thing I was here prematurely.
Well,
yes.
I'm not surprised because you're very. You're a professional.
A-type.
And an A-type.
Also, I'm not as familiar with the TDC, so I thought it would take 3 hours. I just know that you guys are far. You're hell and gone compared to being at Young and Bloor. So okay. I was worried. I packed the lunch.
We hear this constantly.
Provisions, so I wanted to make sure I got here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Where did you come from?
Young and Bloor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's funny because
Los Angeles.
There's a bit of an attitude. My lady friend has a bit of an attitude about where I am here. She calls it way out in the West End.
I'm like,
oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, we're not right at Young and Dundas or at Ossington and Hipsterland.
Well, people love the outskirts or the suburbs.
Have you ever heard of,
like, right, you know, the money shot?
Have you ever heard of Brampton? It's a little place just outside of Toronto.
I've heard tales.
That's where I come from.
I know. I can tell by your accent.
You should.
Yeah, meanwhile, you and I are from what? Yeah. Moose Jaw and Sarnia?
Sault Ste. Marie.
Where are you from?
Sarnia, I wish. Please, with your fanciness. I'm not Illuminati. I'm from Sault Ste.
Marie.
These are not my original teeth, friends. So there's never any attitude.
No, it's great. I knew what I was going to ask you. So you're doing lots of shows. I follow you on social media. You're at there's that place in LA. I see you're performing at the Federal.
The Federal,
a lot.
Yeah, because I'm taping a clean set to send to Conan O'Brien and
are you?
A few of the television things. Yeah,
No, that's interesting. You call it a clean set. Not that your set is, you know, you're not really super dirty, but you swear, you say the odd cuss word. I think
it's mostly the salty nature of my subjects at times, and maybe the odd. Swear word, although Conan's pretty, I mean, to be honest, I'm also saying it somewhere else that has to be super clean. So not even a hint of it. Like an America's Got Talent kind of set, you know, so it really has to be. So I'm doing new stuff off of my my new album, which is surprisingly a lot cleaner, I found. I said, you know, this stuff seems to be very television friendly.
If you were on Conan, how long would that set be?
I believe they're 6 minute sets.
Yeah, they're pretty tiny.
Yeah, you're in and out like a Navy SEAL. And you know me, you know, Fred, my comedy is very tantric. I like it like at a Canadian award show. I don't think I could do the punchline to that on the station.
Okay,
but,
well, maybe for the podcast.
It goes on forever.
Yes.
And no one's satisfied. Let's say it that way.
Let's just pause Carla now. Let's
what?
Put a. Because the guy called.
Well, the guy's late.
Mark,
it?
Are you there?
I thought you guys were calling me.
Oh, you thought we were calling you.
That's so Mark.
That voice, Mark, before we introduce you, the other voice in this now is Carla Collins. And she was scheduled for 8:30, but she got here early, so she's filling in for you. And now she's just going to hang out on her own for a second.
Well, I'm sure she's going to love the golf talk.
Oh, right? Yeah. She can't wait to hear about the President's Cup.
Can't get enough of it, Mark.
So why don't you do that? Why don't you just pause, go back and play with Stan and Bruce, and we'll come back to Carla Collins. Mark Zucchino is one of the voices on the PGA Tour play-by-play, part of Golf Talk Canada. I was mentioning to Fred earlier, Mark, that you have all the jobs I would love to have if only I had any credentials. Mark Zucchino, Fred Patterson, look at him.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning. Yeah. No, there are some fun gigs. Sometimes not so much, but this weekend was a fun one. This was one where you went, you know what? I'd probably be sitting around not doing much other than watching and talking about this anyway. So if we're getting paid to do the call, if we're getting paid to do some play-by-play on it, not a big deal. I think I saw every shot for 4 days of that tournament. That was a fun President's Cup.
Yeah, before we get to the President's Cup, though, Mark, let's just set the stage for people who, because I follow you on PGA Tour play-by-play on SiriusXM. And when I ran into you at the Expo, PGA of Ontario Expo, I said, you know what, I love what you do, and I think it's cool that you're on the broadcast. You're the only Canadian. And whenever they go to you, I'm like, it's Mark Zucchino. He's cool. But how did it turn into that gig where you were calling shots you're like an on-course guy, right?
Yeah, 99.9% of the time, that's what I'm doing for them, is doing live play-by-play at the course, under the headset, following the group. That's pretty much what I do. On occasion, we get pulled into the studio or to do another role. But that's my main job. But it kind of came about very bizarre. It was I started Golf Talk Canada 10 years ago as on a radio show, and then it kind of started to develop from there. And I had previous workings with the PGA Tour in the past in different capacities, and just doing marketing, advertising, you name it, just other parts of the golf world. And after I started Golf Talk Canada, I just kind of kept bumping back into the PGA Tour, bumping back into old relationships, and I went, hey, you don't know the guy who, you know, I just asked questions, you don't know the guy who runs PGA Tour radio, do you? Of course, it's so-and-so, so-and-so, and made a phone call, introduced myself. It was so weird. And then all of a sudden, they let a guy go the week of the Canadian Open and needed a last-minute fill-in at the Canadian Open because they couldn't get any of the regular guys up here to do the play-by-play. It was like, hey, you want to try this? I'm like, I'll go do it.
and then you kicked ass, and the rest is history.
That's it. Yeah, that was it.
Now, Mark, I want you to know, like, I know when Fred was younger that he had an affinity, a love of hockey play-by-play. But what you do in a golf context, it hasn't been around that long. I mean, guys have been calling golf on television for a long time. But on the radio, it's a different beast because you have to describe it, you know, in a way you can't do on television.
Well, I guess it's like any other form of you know, radio, where you can't rely on any visuals. And also, it's the reason I find it challenging at times, guys, or challenging, or maybe slightly more challenging at times than some other sports, is things aren't developing as fast as what you would in a calling basketball or calling hockey. It's probably a lot closer to calling baseball, would be my guess. Now, that's just a guess. I've never called baseball, but just the pacing and the timing. Sometimes you're filling a lot of gaps and trying to make it somewhat interesting or just provide some type of insight or entertainment to bridge the gap between, you know, one important shot to hopefully the next important shot. But, you know, so there's a lot more storytelling involved or setting of the stage, so to speak. So in terms of pacing and how different it is, it's certainly different. And in our broadcast, sometimes I've been with other guys that have done other forms of sports broadcast before, mm-hmm. I've thrown our headset on them and said, okay, listen to this chaos. And we've got about seven voices of traffic to decipher that are constantly going on and at the same time trying to be aware of what's happening around us and calling. So it's in your head for about a six-hour window. So it's a bit chaotic. It's amazing because what you're calling in front of you, there's nothing chaotic about it. It's probably about as slow paced as what you could ever imagine. But what's happening in your headset and what's going on under the ears is about as crazy as you will ever hear in terms of trying to, you know, stay in the moment,
right,
and try to figure out what's going on.
But you know what? It works. I mean, it really works because I know I've mentioned to a few people coming home from the cottage, the Tin Palace, and there's a golf tournament on, and I have SiriusXM, and I listen to it, and people say, you're listening to a golf broadcast? Yeah. And I think it's, you guys do it really, really well, and I find it interesting. And,
well, thank you.
And that's, obviously, the storytelling adds to it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I like the product. I listened to the product before I started working for them, so I agree with you. I like the storytelling, and that's kind of really what we are. To be bluntly honest with you, only a very, very small percent of our audience would ever consider turning us on and muting the TV. You know, there are people that do that. It is rare. The majority of our audience are, you know, guys that love golf, you know, that want to know what's going on, that are invested in the outcome of the tournament and can't be in front of a TV.
Okay, Mark.
It really means by the wheel of a car.
We only have about eight more minutes, so I want to get a couple of things in. And I said to you last month, we'd love to get you in here, you know, from time to time when you have a chance in your schedule, so we can talk a little bit more about some of the different things you've done. And it's always better face-to-face, but I know you were busy doing the President's Cup. Let's talk about that. Just briefly, for me as a golf fan, I actually wanted the Internationals to win for a variety of reasons. Of course, Adam Hadwin's from my hometown, and it's the Canadian connection with Weir. And I think it would have been better for the sport. But as a Tiger fan, you're kind of like, well, for legacy purposes, what are your thoughts? And how do you think the overall this one will be remembered?
Well, I certainly think it'll be remembered as one of the more competitive ones. I think it'll be remembered for, you know, possibly the time the international team realized that they went to a different format. You know, they really used data. They really crunched numbers. They didn't go do the same old, to make up their pairings and to decide how they were going to, you know, make this a competition as opposed to an exhibition. So there's a lot of positives. Royal Melbourne's, you know, an outstanding venue. It's hard to not love that golf course. So there's a lot of things going on that were way more positive than what we saw 2 years ago at Liberty National, which was an absolute joke. That wasn't even a competition. So, but at the end of the day, I think the best thing in the world for this for this event would have been an international win.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
We need a couple of them, guys. Yeah. I don't think even just one. I think we need a couple of back-to-back wins because, you know, people don't remember. But if you go back to the late 70s and early 80s, nobody cared about the Ryder Cup. Nobody cared that every 2 years America would go out and slaughter Great Britain in the Ryder Cup. And it wasn't until Nicklaus stood up and said, this is not going to work. You need to let continental Europe make up this team. It can't just be America, Great Britain. Then you got Ballesteros. Then you got Bernard Langer. You got all these great international players in continental Europe that came along, and all of a sudden, you know, fast forward to, you know, late 90s into the 2000s to today, and, you know, Europe regularly kicks the crap out of America, and America started caring about it because they don't like getting beat at anything. They want to be number one at everything, and now it is this huge event every 2 years that everybody can't wait for. Well,
it's become one of the most compelling, it's one of the most compelling sporting events in the world, this Ryder Cup. But as you said, 40 years ago, 35 years ago, it was just an exhibition, and they regularly lost.
We don't get there with the President's Cup unless the international team starts winning. So for me, I was cheering for them for multiple capacities, but really for the health of the event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was cheering for them because, to me, it was the home team. But anyway, the success of anything is to hit the mainstream, and there's a lot of people... Again, that the idea of watching, even watching golf on television, isn't that compelling. The format of this thing, I'll tell you, if you're not used to watching golf on television and you get pulled into the format, it was like the team sport aspect of it. I found it fascinating. I've never watched so much golf at once in my life. And I've never really watched a President's Cup before.
Isn't that interesting, Mark? And I said to Fred, part of the reason that draws a guy like Fred in, who's a sports fan, but maybe not a golf fan, is that every hole has a consequence to it.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of the team side, and I think it's the beauty of match play when it works.
Yes.
You know, you guys will know this because, you know, there's been match play events over the years that have been some of the worst television that you've ever seen in your life. When you get finals of two guys you wouldn't know if you hit with your car.
That's right.
You're trying to, you know, care about this. It's very hard to do.
That's it.
Or even go back, guys, a year ago to American Thanksgiving and Tiger and Phil in that made for TV.
Oh, my God.
Event.
It was dreadful.
It was horrible, right?
Yeah, it was brutal.
Hey, Mark, speaking of Tiger, just because I want to get a couple of these in before we have to let you go. Because you follow the tour and you've been there for the last couple of years for Tiger's, you know, great comeback. Do the players, do they like him as much as they are saying that they do, that they wanted to win for him, that playing for Captain Woods, etc.? Is that genuine now?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it's way more genuine now than it's ever been. I think this is certainly a different version of the guy. I think it's a better version of the guy. And, you know, the proof was probably in the pudding when he won his last green jacket this April with the amount of players that hung around and waited to watch that. And they're waiting to watch that, A, because they're probably really pulling for him, or B, there's just a large percentage that just say, I want to see history. There's only so many times you get to see a moment that will – you know, a moment of the decade type of thing, or,
right.
you know, so somewhere in there is the truth. The difference between wanting to be touched and associated with greatness and truly liking the person. So I think there's a bit of both of that in there, but I certainly think it's way more genuine now than it's ever been, especially for the young guys.
Yeah, I love your answer.
I definitely think it's genuine from the younger players that didn't have to play against him 15, 20 years ago. Well, for some of the older guys that are more contemporaries, you know, that relationship has gone up and down over the years. Look at him and Mickelson, for instance, where they are now compared to where they were 20 years ago. So,
okay, hang on a second, Mark. Fred wants to ask
you something. No, I was saying, and, you know, the sport needs Tiger Woods. I mean, when he was out of the picture for a while, the sport suffered a bit. So those guys are lined up when he wins a green jacket because they're thinking, we need this guy in the forefront because it all ends up in our pockets.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
well, that's 100% true, and it's also scary because, you know, it's scary because the number one go-to, the guy that still, you know, the straw that still stirs the drink, happens to be a guy who's going to be 44 years old, multiple knee surgeries. That cannot be the business plan moving forward.
You know, Mark, you're saying almost exactly what I said to Freddie before the show started. I said what's incredible is that the best player on either team in 2019 is a guy that's about to turn 44 and is on the end of his career. There's really nobody. There's lots of great players, but there's nobody that's going to...
There's no next one.
There's no next one yet. No. Hey, Mark.
No, and they only come around once every 50 years, so we might be waiting a while.
I don't know what your plans are. When you go back, I think the tour picks up again in early January in Hawaii, but we're going to get Boone to kind of set up something. We'd love you to come in here. We can have a nice conversation on and off the air, and would just be great to have you here from time to time.
Would do it, guys. Would love to do it. And January, February is a good time of year. So reach out. Let's figure it out.
Okay, man. The host and producer of Golf Talk Canada, TV and radio, and part of the PGA Tour radio live play-by-play, Mark Zucchino. Thanks for this short but good visit, and I hope you enjoyed it. We'd love to have you come back again, okay?
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
All right, Mark Zucchino, he's a good man.
You know,
Mark Zucchino, bye.
Another key element to this is all professional sports, you know, they use prime time now, and golf doesn't have that luxury. This time they did.
Yeah, it was good.
That was very convenient for me. I'm not sure I would have watched it if it hadn't have been in prime time.
And what's interesting about what you said, too, is a guy, because, you know, you follow sports, you have a passion for it, but what this does, this kind of competition can suck you in, because most of those tour events, you'll be like, oh, whatever, Friday, Saturday, you're not going to watch it.
Well, you look at the leaderboard, if you don't recognize anybody, you're gone.
Exactly.
So,
okay, we're going to bring back our special, special guest today. Coming in back, she's going to be talking about all kind of things. Things are going to get weird, maybe a bit dirty, who knows? There could be singing. But we're going to talk about comedy and meditation, mindfulness. We're going to talk about animals. Things are going to get we may be making out. Who knows? Carla Collins comes back. It's Humble and Fred Radio here on Canada's Comedy Superstation, Funny 820, and at humbleandfredradio.com.
Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check on.
Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on the lucky one.
It's Humble and Fred Radio here on Canada's Comedy Superstation. Of course, this song, fantastic Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York. Carla Collins hanging out with us in a second here. First, let's talk about our good friends at Gig Sky.
Yes, it's the winter travel season. And the Gig Sky eSIM now available on the new Google Pixel 4 devices. as well as the Pixel 3 and 3A. The same regional and world plans available on the eSIM-enabled iPhones are available on the new Google eSIM phones, okay? What you do is download the latest version of the GigSky app onto your phone, create an account, purchase a data plan, and you're good to go with the GigSky service. And, of course, if you'd like the physical SIM and or the GigSky hotspot, they're available through the Humble and Fred website. Just click on GigSky.
And, of course, we're excited to have Palma Pasta back. If you're entertaining for the holidays, drop in any one of their four retail locations for all your culinary needs. Three in Mississauga, including the new Palma's Kitchen and one location in Oakville. From gourmet cheese, fruit spreads, to cured meats for your charcuterie boards. Oh, how fancy. It's like if you come over to my house, I have a charcuterie board.
Yes, you should see my charcuterie boards.
Lovely.
Oh, they're organic.
Or pick up any one of Palma's many prepared pasta trays, from lasagna or cannelloni to prepared meats such as chicken parm or veal scallopini. PalmaPasta.com, Italian tradition, simply delicious, which is also a...
I'm also a bit of an Italian tradition.
Exactly. And simply delicious, Carla Collins.
Gentlemen.
Nice, sweet lady.
Morning.
You know, I don't know, it was a couple months ago. Easy now. A couple months ago, I saw you had posted something about, I'm going to be doing stand-up with yoga mats. And I'm like, what up with that?
Oh,
C. Collins.
Just continuing to build the Collins empire.
Yeah.
You're so cutting edge.
You know, I like, all jokes aside, this is my new favorite thing, Fred. And it actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, describe it to people, because I didn't do a very good job. What exactly is it? It's comedy and meditation.
It is. And it needs some description.
Yes, it does.
So a friend of mine, her name is Katie Reese. She was a former member of the Groundlings. You know that.
Yes.
So she did some stand-up, but she now owns this wellness center in Los Angeles, and we had the idea of me doing like stand-up. So here's how it works. People come in, we give a little glass of bubbles or water, whatever you like.
Yeah, there's some champagne involved.
If you like. It's not necessary. And everybody sits down like a normal show. I do about 30 minutes of comedy. So, of course, the belly laughs and the endorphins and everyone's laughing. And then they lie back or sit back if you're not comfortable on a mat. And I bring them through about a 30 or 40 minute guided meditation.
So when
my
say,
dulcet tones.
Yeah, nice. Well, I was going to say, you know, when I first saw you posted, I thought, okay, that's interesting. It's like a, seems like a kind of a cool thing to for LA. You know, hey, we're going to go into comedy and meditation. I'm like, this could be brilliant. This could be your franchise. But I didn't really understand. So you actually do material for like 20 people on there as they're laying there and joking.
Well, no, they're sitting up during the comedy.
Right.
Ideally. When I say it's stand up lying down, so they're just watching the show, sipping their beverages, if you will.
Right.
Like a normal show. And there is some science behind it, boys, because when you're laughing, you're in a gamma state. And it's the same state that you're in for meditation. And what I'm finding, you know, I'm in LA, I never know what anyone's saying. It's so, you know, I'm just trying to take the preciousness out of meditation. Like, I'm holding space for you. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Are you saving me a seat at the Joker, or is it your thigh gap? Just stop it. Everybody's an empath. But, you know, I've long had a love of mixing these. Like, my book was Angels, Vampires, and Douchebags, and I've always tried to sort of blend a little spirituality with comedy. I think it's a great healer. So you fire off these endorphins, and everybody just gets out of their own head. You know, they're not fidgeting because they're spent a little bit from laughing.
So the idea is, and you, as you describe it, you get them to laugh, they release some endorphins, they're in a...
They bond.
There's a bonding with the people in the room because they're laughing at the same thing.
At me, I'm like the rodeo clown, right?
Exactly.
They're not subconscious.
No, but, and as you say, seriously, then they're in a mode of, they're spent a little bit, they're relaxed now, and they can... Because, you know,
And
then they do the meditation.
And they lie back.
Meditation.
Meditation.
Yeah, there's no yoga. I mean, everybody, and I get it. People confuse yoga and meditation. And also, you know, here in Canada, we've been doing that at yoga studios. But they just lie back. And, yeah, if you meditate, you know. And if you're hyper at all, like me, always shaking like a chihuahua on meth, it's difficult to calm your mind down. Like people are like, clear your mind. And I never do. I think, how's Grey's Anatomy still on there? Like,
right.
I don't have. I have to fake my epiphanies.
Well,
so,
that's what they say about connecting with your breathing, you know, in so many different places, because I still do yoga. In fact, I looked up a class. This is true. There's a yoga and meditation class that I'm going to just because it fits into the schedule. But I always do that with meditation. I'm always like, okay, I'm breathing, and now I'm not breathing. Now I'm thinking of golf, and now I'm, what am I going to do? And now I'm breathing again.
Exactly, this, what if all the ventriloquism dolls come to life on the same day?
But isn't that hard? If you're really funny, then people trying to meditate, and all they're thinking about is the funny stuff they just heard.
The first funny, then meditation.
No, they, well,
that's what I'm saying, though. Well, then you're meditating, people, and you're thinking of all the funny things you just heard.
They go out, Fred. A lot of people are claiming. I mean, I'm just telling you that it's the deepest meditation they've had, and I've had some. It's good for newbies who are like, well, thanks, and what is this? And it's great for hardcore veteran meditators, and they're out because, again, they have released that energy. And
That's really an interesting point.
And the origin story of this, because, you know, like a good superhero story.
Yeah, what is the origin story?
Inexplicably, I'm teaching like 3 or 4 dance classes a week now. So I was doing some personal training for a friend of mine, and it's a wealthy couple, and the husband is much older. Mm. And she said, you know, he's around the house too much. You got to get him out of my hair, you know, bring him to the gym, put him on the reformer. And he's 83, and I arrived there, and I'm like, cardio is just me wearing a low-cut top. Like, this guy's not doing any gym, for God's sakes, right? So I'm doing chair exercises, and to fill the hour, he really liked these guided meditations. So I was doing this a few times a week a while back and writing my own, because some of them are annoying. It's always some British dude, you're on the train. No, I'm not. Shut up. Is that fake? Yeah. Honestly, Fred, you know I have like only 2 or 3 LinkedIn special skills. So I'm just trying to combine my voiceover with comedy and my little philosophy in life, spirituality.
Well, I
loved
it. And I, you know, it's funny, the idea of, you know, people throwing around mindfulness and meditation. Dan Harris wrote a book, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know, whenever it's called 10% Happier.
Yeah.
And I read it. He's a former ABC anchor that had a panic attack. Famously on air.
On air, yes.
And you can see the clip.
And
he's now become a big podcaster. But I was drawn to it. And I thought, oh, who is this guy? And you can go on and see him melt down in the middle of a, you know, network broadcast. And he went, and the whole book's about his journey to find meditation or to find spiritualness and Buddhism and whatever. But I was like, oh, maybe because of, this is true, because of golf, I thought maybe if I meditated, I could calm down and not freak out so much.
Absolutely.
And it works.
Between holes.
Seriously. There's a big movement now in sports. For instance, to tie this into Carla, one of the most famous meditation apps is called Calm, C-A-L-M. Mm-hmm. And now, you know who their spokesman is? LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these commercials where LeBron's going, hey, you can be, you know, athletics are part, you know, physical, but a big part of what we do is mental. And he is a proponent of meditating for a better health.
Well, who's the big boxer? My brother was telling me, who's like, you know, basically conceive, believe, achieve, you know, a lot of the sports. And this is, goes back to the 70s, though, with visualization. Some coaches who are on the, you know, cutting edge were using it back then, because your brain doesn't know the difference. You could win a gold medal in your brain, you know, in your mind.
It's sad, back then a lot of them were considered like wacky
kooks.
A lot of guys, even like Roger Neilson, who coached the Leafs back in the 70s, he had ideas that people thought he was just like way out there, and now they're just common.
But when Carlos said true, there's a lot of science behind it, and I started meditating very, you know, just a little bit, because it's really hard for people like me and you. All of us, you know.
I've never meditated. I've never tried to meditate for that reason. I think probably, like, I don't, like, how do you know when you're in a meditative state?
It's like Fight Club, though, Fred. There's no rules, especially like when you're doing a guided meditation. You'll come in and out, so it's nice to have someone else do the work for you.
Right.
And then you just sit back and relax. And I'm coming back at the new year because, like, it's going over like hotcakes.
Well, that's what it's amazing that you've tapped into a really special thing. And a lot of times that's the, when you talk about the origin story, you know, comedy and meditation, no one put those two together. And I can only imagine. I saw you got some coverage in L.A.
Within a week or so, NBC Morning Show.
Because they would love that stuff there. And is this, now do you have, are you partners with this person? Are you guys going to take this out to the world together?
Yeah, I'd like to. So far, we've only been doing it since October, so we want to do a couple months in L.A., and then people were asking for it here, and I'm coming back in the new year to do a much bigger tour here. And it is good for corporates.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. It might not be everyone's thing, and that's fine. But also, you know, one-on-ones and yeah, we've had like an incredible response. And I got to tell, I don't know if it's just because it's the new, you know, the newest, shiniest boy in my life. I'm just so in love with it. It's I probably bet. Helping mm-hmm. me a lot because, as we talked about off air, you know, I had dealing with a lot of grief this year, lost a dog, lost a family member. It's one of those, I think I needed it as much as so. And I will say, as woo-woo as this sounds, there's a different atmosphere at the end. Like when, you know, I did when yesterday at Downward Dog and at Big Stretch Yoga on Friday, and people come out of it, there's just a, it's really a lovely vibe. So, you know, maybe it's perhaps what I was destined to do.
Well, you never know.
That and marrying Howard.
If you need a Toronto instructor, say, if it really branches out, Sean's your guy. He's looking to make some extra dollars.
Okay.
That's right.
How's his stand-up and meditation?
Yeah.
Howard's dulcet tones.
Yeah, exactly.
Downward dog style.
Downward dog style.
I don't know
what that means, but I'm intrigued.
He's a Georgetown empath. And,
great.
Same.
It is a unique and interesting idea. Now, you're still doing some stand-up. You're very busy. And that's one of the... You've been too busy to speak to me.
No, I'm trying to be busy. You know me. Howard, if I'm not busy, I'll land in prison. I'm not good when I have time on my hands. I'm just not. It's the bad things happen. It's like,
oh, really?
Why do the homeless have better behaved dogs than me? It's just one of those things.
Sure.
Like, you know, I can't get to... Yeah, so I try to stay busy. But, doing stand-up and the special and my new album, Recovering Nudist.
Is that really it?
It is.
Called Recovering Nudist?
Yeah.
And what is that all about?
Well, I taped this at the Arc Theater in L.A., recorded about a month ago, and the fellow who was hosting and brought me on stage, he performs at nudist colonies. And so I happened to play off of him when I got there, and I said, tell me when you perform at nudist colonies, when you get nervous, do you picture them clothed? And I started, and then I said, you know, I was a nudist because I was.
Were you really?
Yes, just outside of Guelph when I was
at Four Seasons?
Yep.
Oh,
Fred.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Well, hello.
Fred knows all about the nudes.
You know what, Carla? They have highway signs when you're driving out there.
Oh, my gosh. So, when I was in high school, I worked at, I managed a clothing store, Flair, at Stone Road Mall in Guelph.
Nice.
And the boss is from Europe. And they were, you know, and for the longest, they're like, we should come see our, you know, come out to our cottage. But they were always weird about it. And finally, I'm like, oh, we're all naked. Cool. Which I just took to. I loved it. So I was a nudist. And
with your boss?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, wait till I was 19 or so.
Right. So how long did you practice nudity?
Well, I was there. I'd hang out there, you know, for a few years. I had
really?
My 21st birthday there, closed, because in the party room. It's not like we were all nude.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But in the pool or having sun. So I was all about this. So I'm talking about it on stage, and someone yells out, are you still a nudist? You know, just, you know, during a recording, you know how much you love that. And I said, no, not now. There's nowhere to put my phone.
Oh, that's funny.
And I started doing bits on being a nudist and how it's... I said, the reason I also left is because you don't want to go to a place that shares the same name as ants and lepers. Mm-hmm. Like, why is it a nudist colony?
Yes, right.
I mean, they should update that. So, you know, the guys is Comedy Dynamics, so they're big producers putting this album together. And I was like, listen, guys, I'm really good at titles, so let me name the tracks. I was just like, no, I'm going to call this one Emotional Support Cougar, and this is, I just got back from the doctors, turns out I'm pre-Dianetic. You know, like, I thought I have all these great word plays, and I did. But their one contribution was Recovery Nudist for this bit. And I said, that's the name of the album. It's
that's
so much
really
better
funny.
Than anything I came up
so
with.
So when you perform at a nudist game, are the people naked or clothed for that, I wonder?
Apparently the people are naked in the audience. And he says that...
Because
he's always trying to get me. He's always like, can we want to do one of these? You can be in a bikini. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't want to be... I don't know about nude in comedy.
No.
Meditation comedy, no problem. I don't need
my bits
out.
You're not nude during the guided meditations, are you?
No. Okay. No, that's a lot more expensive. I can be Howard.
That's the one-on-one.
That's right.
God dang it. Carla Collins, man.
I love
doing
you guys.
It all.
I missed you.
Oh, well,
thanks
we miss
for
you
having
too.
Me.
It's been a long
pals.
Time since you
came
in.
Yeah, way too long.
Well, we lead, boring lives compared to you.
No, you don't, Fred. You little vixen with the, Four Seasons.
Oh, Four Seasons.
I see the signs.
That's right. Meanwhile,
and also Fred Frolics.
That's right.
They allow singles now.
Yeah, his Four Seasons punch card falls out of his pants.
What? It's just Fred with a tool belt and Doc Martens.
He's putting up drywall. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Carla Collins, Guided Meditation.
CarlaCollins.com.
CarlaCollins.com.
And at Carla Collins Comedian. Like more Insta followers.
You
guys wouldn't mind.
You did lose your a dog. We Fred, and we were talking about that. You have you had two dogs,
mm-hmm.
And this one you said was the youngest you'd ever had a puppy going.
That's 10, and he he was fine. Got diagnosed with cancer within 10 days. I was devastated.
That's
I was away, and he waited for me. I made it back, but you know they were so inseparable because I've got this
two dogs,
Chihuahua Minpin mix, Zira, Dr. Zira, who's
yes.
She's also older. Zira and I are both lying about our ages because we look like puppies.
Yeah,
and I too am a rescue, so I can't tell anyone my age. I just say, well, you have to check the dental records.
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed you and your puppies.
Yes, there's a whole litter.
Yeah,
so. You know, Fred, she went south when Miles died. And, you know, of course, every well-meaning person's like, you know, you probably lose both of them because when they're close, it happens. I'm like, thank you. Stop it.
Thanks, please.
So I thought,
get well cards.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's a lot like me. She's a tough chick. And I thought, what helps me? Distraction. So now I am that white woman who brings her Chihuahua everywhere. And I mean everywhere. But she's having the time of her life. And she bounced back because this was back in June. And she's better than ever.
You know, sometimes when I contemplate how much I love Stan, mm-hmm. my dog, and I was saying this to Rachel, I said, you know, I'm as he gets older, I'm going to need a transition dog. I'm going to need I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad. I just because I don't know that I want to be without a dog. And I know that
it's
you haven't had one for a while, but I like it. I like the companionship. I like the distractions.
I'm changing, though, because the thing is, when you get a dog, you set yourself up for heartbreak. You do.
Yeah.
But I'm at an age now where the dog will probably outlive me. So
this is my brother's plan. He said, I'm not getting a dog until I'm in my 90s.
That's
I can't go through it again.
My daughter has a dog that I love, and it's 13, 14. So we're going to be going through that soon. Mm. But I really, as you say, it's horrible.
Need homes, you know. I'm big.
But in your retirement too, you maybe not want to be tied down or have
that's
one.
True.
But I was saying, Rach, you know, like I just can't imagine not having a dog now. I've had one for so long, but I don't think I could have another Boston because I don't want to. And she made this point because Stan's so different. I'd have to go to a different breed because every Boston I would get would be like, well, it's just Stan.
Oh, exactly. Oh, no. Same with the Black Lab. There can't be another Buster. There can't be another Miles, who was a Great Dane Chihuahua mix. He had like 3,000 dogs.
He was born from a gangbang.
He was. I'm telling you this day. He was like 7 or 8 different breeds.
Wow.
And so I always, you know, I really like, if you guys follow Wolfgang on Instagram, you know, the guy, he went viral because he lost his dog and he couldn't recover, which is a bit how I really went into a depression when Miles passed. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's grief is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to the shelter and rescued the oldest dog, like the one no one wanted. And now he has like 13 or 14, and they're all like senior citizen dogs. And he's got Esther the pig and a chicken or whatever. And that's all I want to make like baller money on comedic meditation and just be crazy dog woman. I'm really happy with that. And I thought, that's what I'll do. Get the ones that need you most.
Like, 13 dogs, the poop. Like, I mean, really?
I think, yes.
How do you deal with
it? Is that really where you go to?
Yeah,
it is.
It's not 13
seriously.
Dogs pooping inside.
No, I know, but still.
You know, well, you don't know that.
You get staff. You get staff.
All right, listen, sweetheart. We got to do a couple things, a little business.
You're very busy.
Hang around here. Carla Collins, Sweet Angels here. And let's talk a little bit about CDN Technologies, Fred, man. If we can, CDN. Oh, me? Okay, me? Me? All right, I'll talk about it.
I can do it, but I just don't have it in front of me.
I'll do it right now. Okay. How dare you? Are you searching for an IT company?
Is everybody searching? Is it dueling searches?
No, we're good now.
We're doing research.
Are you searching for an IT company because you're dealing with ongoing IT issues? Do you have computer problems and don't know who you can trust to fix them fast? If so, give CDN Technologies a call. Let them show you what fast, friendly, and highly responsive outsourced IT services should be for your business. CDNTechnologies.com. Barb will be here as part of our little Christmas show on the Thursday, our 30th anniversary.
Wow, that's amazing.
Me and the Fred Man. The Fred Man and the How Man. Yes, thank you.
That's extraordinary.
Yes, yes.
We're
an institution. Backups and recovery, IT security, IT services, IT support. All of it can be fixed at cdntechnologies.com.
Who's this?
Who am I playing here?
Yeah.
This is a cool thing. This is Amanda Jensen from a Spotify playlist called Hipster Christmas. Do you like it?
Yeah, very much so.
Do you want to Shazam it so you can put it on your Spotify?
Absolutely.
Do it up.
I do that all the time.
I'll send it to you.
As I said, I spent part of the weekend listening to the Dean Martin Christmas album. Man, that's
awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
I love Dean Martin.
Oh, Silk Man.
And who did I see do...
And he was so funny.
Yeah. Yes. And he wasn't as drunk as...
No, it was an act.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I saw somebody do a Dean Martin song. But you forget what a great voice he had.
Beautiful.
You know, those guys, Dean Martin and
Sinatra,
some of those... They all wanted to be Sinatras, right?
Right.
That was quite a time for music. Back in the 1960s and 50s when we were babies.
We were all babies. Not you, of course.
I wish, but I'd love to have been a dame back then, right? I'd be like, oh, hello, heart. I'm not going to put up with your malarkey. Get over here.
You and your
look at the pins on me, you little Weisenheimer.
It's funny, that Dean Martin album, I remember my mom used to play it at the time thinking, wow, it's old people music. And now it's just good music. That's all it is.
You know, it's scary when you think about it. I there's a channel on Sirius called 40s on 4, I guess, and the kids were bugging me about why do I like to listen to it. And one of the things I like is I sometimes imagine that that's the music my parents were listening to when they were in their 20s. Because in the, you know, statistics, you know, I mean, my dad was born in 26, so in 46, 7, and 8, he's listening to this music. That's their current.
Oh, yeah.
And then I fast forward to thinking, I'm like, when we're older, we're like, hey, put on that Soundgarden.
You know, well, exactly.
Like, oh, Black Hole Sun, that's old-timey music.
Drake.
Exactly.
I loved him. Well, that's why I have an affinity with songs from the 50s, because of my parents.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's I like to think of my mom and dad and sort of dancing to all that music and big band music and think, well, that's going to be us, except those bands will be REM and
Soundgarden. And we're twerking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you are. I can't. My back won't allow me.
But even some of that music you refer to now is a quarter century old.
That's what I mean.
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Like, we're going to be sitting around in, you know, in our 70s and 80s. Black Hole Sun. Don't. Oh, Phil's back. That means we have to end the show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil. Let me see where Phil is. Sean, we'll do you some stuff tomorrow. Sean's looking... he's been handling the Twitch duties today. Thank you very much. No podcast, Estra, because I'm going to go out for eggs with Carla.
That's your TV show, right?
That's right. Carla. Eggs with Carla.
Eggs with Carla. Tomorrow. Big show tomorrow.
They're free range.
What are we doing tomorrow?
Never been in cages.
Peter Gross joins us tomorrow. Free. All right. Peter Gross will be on our show. Looking forward to that. And, of course, wrapping things up on Thursday. Phil.
Hey,
hang on. And, of course, thanks to Mark Zucchino, Carla Collins, and Jessica Holmes, the Air Force New Year's Eve special. Phil.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, and our newest sponsor, Sticker U, where you can get your stickers on Queen Street or order anywhere in the world. We broadcast to the world from the worldwide headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at HumbleandFredRadio.com. I want